Hi, my name is Crystal Cavanis, and I'm your host on Get Your Spirit in Shape. Thank you for being with us today. Before we get into today's episode, I want to take a moment to talk about the story of this podcast. 10 years ago, Joe Iovino created Get Your Spirit in Shape and began hosting conversations about faith, discipleship, and the Wesleyan tradition. Joe hosted the first 100 episodes and built the strong, trusted foundation that this podcast stands on today. For the past few years, I've had the privilege of continuing those conversations as host, and it truly has been a joy. One of the things I've loved most is the opportunity to learn alongside you, our listeners. Every conversation opened the door to a new story, a new perspective, or a deeper understanding of our faith. Today's episode marks a bit of a transition for the podcast. After more than 100 episodes myself, I'm stepping away from the host chair. I'm deeply grateful for the opportunity and for everyone who has been a part of these conversations. But here's the best part. Get Your Spirit in Shape isn't going anywhere. In fact, we're beginning a new chapter, and I'm really glad to welcome back the person who started it all. Joe Iovino is returning as host. Joe, welcome back.
Thanks, Crystal. And thank you for 100 episodes of leadership. I think it's 102, actually, but 102 episodes of leadership of Get Your Spirit in Shape. You gave me a lot of credit in that for the strong foundation, but actually a lot of growth has happened in the last 100 episodes because of your leadership. And I am deeply grateful that for all the work that you did over that extended period of time. And it is a joy that Get Your Spirit in Shape continues. It was a silly idea when it started 10 years ago, and to think it's still going 10 years later is quite remarkable. I'm really glad. So I hope you've enjoyed your time, and I know we're sad to kind of see you leave as the host, but excited for what's next.
Well, thank you. And thank you for those kind words. I don't think it was a silly idea 10 years ago. I think you were a visionary. I've worked alongside you long enough to know you are a visionary. And Get Your Spirit in Shape, you know, it started as probably an experiment, but it really took off. The podcast resonated with people, the conversations resonated with people, and that was already in place when I stepped in. So it really has been such a blessing, really, to me to have conversations. A lot of times, Joe, you know this, you were my editor for all of those episodes, and I would come to you and I'd say, I've got a question about something, or I'm really confused about fill in the blank. And you would just really support me and encourage me to go, you know, seek out a guest who maybe could have that conversation with me, who could be a thought partner as we tackled some really hard, sometimes some hard conversations. And so I appreciate that, that support and that guidance through the past 100 or so episodes as well.
One of the things you touched on that I'm really excited to get back into is learning alongside those who listen, right? Because we just share what we learned, which is really fun. And it's going to be great to get the opportunity to do that. Speaking of that, let's just reminisce for a second. I don't want to spend a lot of time here, but just reminisce for a second. Can you think of like special episodes for you or special people that you got to meet as the host of Get Your Spirit in Shape?
Well, I didn't really know if you were going to ask that question, but in anticipation of you asking that question, I went back and I looked at all the episodes, and it was such a great, really time just walking down memory lane for me. Because of course, over, you know, a few years, I had just forgotten some things and I was like, oh my gosh, that was so great. Or I really love that. And it's your children. You can't pick a favorite, but I loved was that, I felt like we talked about some tough things. We talked about mental health. We talked about political divisiveness, the U.S. criminal justice system. We talked about grief during the holidays, how the church can harm, creation care, using expansive language for God, which wasn't something I even knew about until we had a guest on to talk about that. And we also talked about John Wesley and Charles Wesley. I got to know our founders as really people when we talked to scholars who had studied their lives for decades. We talked about the Enneagram, which just, you know, that was so fun to talk about that and really learn how that's tied to how God created us. And so I just think that no, I can't pick a single episode. I really can't. But I really am proud of the conversations that we were able to have. I will say, having to or to pre I will say preparing for the episodes, I read books that I wouldn't have read otherwise, and
Yes.
that helped me. That helped me my personal learning, but it also helped my faith journey. So there were just so many, there have been so many benefits to me to be a part of this.
And so, as we prepare to go forward and as we start this new chapter, I too am really excited to get back into having these conversations and doing things anew and afresh and be a part of Get Your Spirit in Shape in a more active way than I have been over the past 4 or 5 years or however long it's been. And it's hard to imagine that in over 200 episodes, Get Your Spirit in Shape has maintained that work of being about helping us live out our spirituality in healthy ways in our everyday lives. And I just want to assure everyone that that mission is not changing. Sure, things are going to feel different with a different host, but our mission is not really going to change. And so, as we begin this new chapter of the podcast, we're going to explore this year what it means to live faithfully as United Methodists right now. It's been an interesting season in the church. Crystal, you have led Get Your Spirit in Shape through a very interesting season in the church. And so, as we begin again for this episode, I want to begin by talking about our church's vision. And if you haven't heard about the church's vision yet, it reads this way: The United Methodist Church forms disciples of Jesus Christ who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in local communities and worldwide connections. Now, recently, I got to be part of a conversation about this vision and what it means for us as the people called United Methodists in 2026. And so, for this episode, I'm going to invite you to listen in on that conversation that was part of a special live episode of our monthly video news digest that we call the Recap. And so, Crystal, thank you so much for all of the time that you have given to Get Your Spirit in Shape and for the leadership that you gave it for so long. I am deeply grateful. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Joe.
And now we're going to listen to the audio from the recap.
Welcome to the recap, What United Methodists Need to Know. I'm Chuck Long.
And I'm Lilla Marigza. We're coming to you live today with a special episode. We're excited to come together as a worldwide connection right here online to celebrate the United Methodist Church's new vision statement.
Today, we're going to hear from United Methodists who are living out the vision and transforming their communities around the world. I can't wait to hear these stories.
It's going to be such an inspirational day. But first, let's take a fresh look at the vision.
The United Methodist Church forms disciples of Jesus Christ, who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in local communities and worldwide connections. Love boldly. We passionately love God and, like Jesus, embrace and include people of every age, nation, race, gender, and walk of life. Serve joyfully. We journey alongside the most vulnerable, offering care and compassion with joy. Lead courageously. We resist and dismantle all systems of evil, injustice, and oppression, striving for peace, justice, and reconciliation. Our mission, our why, is unchanged: to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Our vision tells us where we are going and how we will continue to live into our mission. Praise God for our hope-filled future, where we will continue to unite in ministry around the world. Learn more at umc.org/vision.
The Reverend Adam Hamilton took a deeper look at the vision in a recent sermon at Resurrection, a United Methodist church. Let's listen in to what he shared about serving joyfully.
The denomination's, the United Methodist Church's, new vision statement. And that vision statement says this: that we are aiming to form disciples of Jesus Christ who, empowered by the Holy Spirit, love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously. And I love that, those three big ideas: love boldly, serve joyfully, lead courageously, describe the kind of Christians we're seeking to be in the United Methodist Church. And I would just say that's probably true of every denomination. Every kind of Christian should be trying to do this. We have these 35th anniversary t-shirts, and we have the outline of the sermon series on the back. It's part of the vision statement: love boldly, serve joyfully, lead courageously. And so last week we talked about loving boldly. This week we're going to talk about serving joyfully. Next week we'll talk about leading courageously. You know that those who rule the Gentiles show off their authority over them, and their high-ranking officials order them around. But that's not the way it will be with you. Whoever wants to be great among you, listen to this, whoever wants to be great among you will be your servant. The Greek word is diakonos. Whoever wants to be first among you will be your slave, doulos. Now, what Jesus is pointing out here is the paradox of greatness. Right? This is how he's redefining what greatness looks like. So he's going to speak about this in a number of ways in the Gospels. He's going to say in the Beatitudes, the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount, blessed are the meek, or the poor in spirit, or the humble. He's going to say the first shall be last and the last shall be first in the kingdom of God. He's going to demonstrate this a week later when he washes his disciples' feet at the Last Supper. And he's going to say, you see what I'm doing? I've taken the role of a slave. Now I'm modeling for you how you're meant to live as my followers, as my disciples. He lives this message out, this paradox out, by caring for the nobodies, the marginalized, the low lives in society. And as I've said here before, thinking about that great Garth Brooks song, Jesus had friends in low places. He had friends in low places. So he stands in direct opposition to how the world thinks about greatness, where you're gonna move to the top, you're gonna have lots of people working for you, you're gonna have all kinds of power and authority, and Jesus says, no, it doesn't work that way. Real greatness is found in serving.
Well, with us in the studio today is a special guest, Joe Iovino, Director of Denominational Content at United Methodist Communications. He's here to share ideas about incorporating the vision into your congregational identity. But more importantly, he's here to answer any questions that you may have. So, Joe, thanks for being here for this special episode of The Recap.
Thanks. It's really great to be here. And like Reverend Hamilton, I am also excited about this moment for the United Methodist Church. This vision is helping us name who we are and who we're called to be as United Methodists, both as a denomination and in our own lives. And I'm really glad to have a chance to talk about that today and answer some questions along the way.
Fantastic.
We are here. We're glad you're here today, Joe. So please submit your questions for Joe by commenting on our Facebook or YouTube live streams. We'll answer as many questions as possible. Switching gears a bit, we travel now to Central Europe, where United Methodists have been loving and serving Ukrainians. As the war in Ukraine enters its fifth year, many power and heating systems have been destroyed, and others are controlled by Russian troops that take advantage of bad weather. The lack of heat and light leads to closed businesses and reduced resources. Even firewood is scarce. Some have left Ukraine to seek protection in nearby countries, many finding refuge amongst United Methodists, offering language courses, housing, job training, and pastoral care. For those that remain to face the dark winter, hope is arriving from southern Germany, where an engineer is leading a United Methodist congregation in producing solar lamps. 100 of the lamps have been distributed in Ukraine by United Methodists in eastern Hungary, and more are on the way. United Methodists in the Czech Republic are sending equipment, heat sources, and generators, one of which is at the Children's Hospital in Kiev. Additional humanitarian aid projects are in the works. Light and warmth are practical reminders that the people of Ukraine have not been forgotten. If you'd like to join in continuing relief efforts, make a donation to advance number 14053A, Ukraine and Moldova in Mission Together, at umcmission.org. And we continue to pray for the people of Ukraine and give thanks for the many ways United Methodists are responding to their ongoing needs.
Well, before we dive into answering some of your questions, we wanted to tell you about a chance to claim a vision t-shirt. Aren't these great looking? At the end of the live stream, we'll be sharing a link to a brief survey so that you can tell us how you see the vision in action in your local church. And the first 25 people to respond will receive one of these shirts. So stay tuned for that opportunity.
Love that shirt. All right, Joe, our first question is for you. And when it was announced last year, what was your reaction when you heard the vision and the theology behind it?
Yeah, my first reaction was excitement. And what struck me almost immediately is that the vision works at every level. Yes, it's a denominational vision, but it also would work for a local church or for any one of us as individual United Methodist. I think as we start talking about the vision, it's helpful to know that the vision grew out of several years of prayerful collaboration between the Council of Bishops and the Connectional Table. Because the Book of Discipline gives the Connectional Table the responsibility to help discern and articulate our church's vision in consultation with the bishops. And in many ways, this vision reflects both who we already are and God's dream for who we can become. It reminds us that as disciples of Jesus Christ, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit and called to love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in our communities and all around the world.
Fantastic. We are starting to get some questions. So if you have questions at home, please send them to us. Joe, a viewer has this question. Is the vision statement replacing our denominational mission statement? That's a great question.
Yeah, the short answer is no. The mission statement remains the same and the vision is meant to complement it. It's easy to think about it this way. The vision is our mission is what we do. We make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. And then the vision describes how those disciples are to live. We are empowered by the Holy Spirit to love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in our communities and all around the world.
Good to know. Yeah. So we're getting some great questions. So again, if you're just tuning in, make sure if you have a question that you get that to us so we can answer during this live show. So viewer says, ask, can you share more about the calling to love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously? Is there a scriptural background for these?
Yeah, good question. Mm-hmm.
There is scriptural background for all of this. And that's one of the things that you can learn more about at umc.org/vision. These scriptural references are up there, but I wrote this one down because I thought this might come. So I have some notes about this. We love boldly, and the way it's described in a longer way is that we passionately love God and, like Jesus, embrace and include people of every age, nation, race, gender, and walk of life. And we serve joyfully with the heart of Christ. We journey alongside the most vulnerable among us, offering care and compassion. And we lead courageously, following Jesus's example. We resist and dismantle all systems of evil and justice and oppression wherever we encounter them. And so, yes, there are scripture references behind all of that. And again, you can find more details about that at umc.org/vision.
All right. Well, what a good question. Thanks to everyone who is submitting a question, or maybe you're about to submit a question. Keep those coming to us. We're going to take a break right now, and we're going to go on to Washington, D.C., where I recently attended a public witness for immigrant justice last month. Check this out.
United Methodists from across the United States marched through Washington, D.C., participating in faithful resistance, a public witness for immigrant justice.
When I saw this, I thought I have to come because I'm angry, I'm upset, I'm sad about what's happening in Washington.
I just feel our voice needs to be heard. What's going on is just not correct.
The whole situation in Minnesota was very, very troubling, and put a spotlight on just what is happening, I believe, in other places quietly.
No ban, no wall, sanctuary for all.
Joined by friends of other denominations and faiths, a steady throng with signs walked the streets near the U.S. Capitol, past the Supreme Court, and the United Methodist Building.
I'm so excited about this turnout. I'm so happy that so many people have come out for this. I think it's a really important cause, and it's just a really good turnout today.
Yay! They've come from as far away as California, Florida, and Arizona, bringing the stories of their cities and small towns to Washington.
There are two ICE detention facilities opening within an hour of our city, and the one that is to the south is very clearly being built without adequate infrastructure in the small town where it's located, which tells me that they do not intend to care for people in any humane way. People that I know who are friends and who are immigrants are afraid to go out at night.
I am an immigrant. So this is you know, part of my story, but I also witnessed so many sufferings around my community. You know, my church is near to a small town. Most people in there is from El Salvador. So we are working together with them to voice out this issue.
Mother and daughter Brandy and Ollie Liebeck have come from Texas.
I have experience of her first protest, her first opportunity to come to the Capitol. I recently came into the United Methodist faith, and it is just a really wonderful thing to see, like, a faith move like this, that even as a kid, like, I never saw that in any other church I've been to, and it's just, it's really wonderful to be here. Yeah.
2,000 participated in the march, but they represent many more. Each individual comes from a church across the nation, and they will return home ready to lead their congregations in witness after carrying their voices to Washington.
Everywhere, it's happening everywhere. And so we have to stand up, we have to speak up. We can't just sit on our couches and have these conversations. We have to be out there and get to the place, the source of where it is, which is right here.
Wow. The ways United Methodists are leading courageously in their communities is truly inspiring. So, Joe, what stands out to you when you see ministries like this?
One of the things I like about the vision is that the verbs are really simple. It's describing how we live out our faith, love, serve, and lead. But equally important are the adverbs. We love boldly, and that means that we include people who may be different from us, and we serve joyfully. And throughout today's episode, I think you're going to see joy on people's faces as they share and serve their communities. And we lead courageously. And as we looked at that that video, we reminded that often it's easier to lead quietly, to lead behind closed doors. But when we see United Methodists out living their faith publicly in this way, we're seeing Christians just empowered by the Holy Spirit to work against injustice throughout our communities.
We are starting to get more questions, Joe. Well, we actually have a comment from a viewer who is sharing that the vision is now in their local church's weekly bulletin. What a great way to get the word about that.
What a great way to share. Yeah.
Fantastic. So also, let's see, we got another question.
Here they come.
Yeah, how can the vision unite United Methodists around the world?
Oh, well, one of the things that we're seeing that's really powerful is that the vision is popping up all over the globe. Like, we hear about work that's happening in the Philippines, and we've seen T-shirts like the ones that you can sign up for today that have the vision on them. And we see them in Africa, and we see the vision showing up in Europe, both in local churches and in annual conferences and in many, many places around the world. And so it seems to be that these words are beginning to unify us across languages and cultures.
Exciting to see that.
Yeah. Thank you so much, Joe. You got a lot of good information.
Yeah, you do.
I appreciate it. All right. And thanks to you for all the questions that you have sent to us. Just keep them coming. And stay tuned for an opportunity to receive that free T-shirt. There you go. It's a vision T-shirt as a gift from United Methodist Communications at the end of our time together today. Now we are headed to Eastern Congo, where our colleague Shadrach Lande met United Methodists who are ensuring those with hearing loss are fully included in the life of the church.
De nombreuses personnes sourdes et malentendantes vivent leur expérience religieuse derrière un mur de silence, aspirant à partager pleinement leur foi et leurs dons. L'Église méthodiste unie de l'Est du Congo a créé un ministère pour accueillir, soutenir et partager l'Évangile avec les personnes malentendantes. Grâce au financement du Comité méthodiste uni pour les sourds et malentendants, les membres du clergé et les laïcs participent à des cours d'interprétation en langue des signes et des bourses permettent à 50 enfants malentendants de fréquenter une école spécialisée. La langue des signes, les systèmes d'aide, les équipes ministérielles et l'engagement communautaire garantissent que chacun fait partie intégrante de l'Église et de ses ministères. Monseigneur Gabriel Hunda a déclaré « Il s'agit d'une étape importante vers la création d'une église plus inclusive où chaque personne, quelles que soient ses capacités, peut participer pleinement à la vie spirituelle et communautaire. Ces ministères célèbrent l'amour de notre prochain et répondent à ses besoins avec ingéniosité et joie. »
What a great story from Shadrach. It's so empowering to see people wholeheartedly serving in their communities. And Joe, one of the things I really love about the vision and about the recap is to see what United Methodists are doing with it all over the world.
Yeah, it is one of the exciting things about the recap, and it's also one of the exciting things about being United Methodist, is that we truly are a global church. And so when we talk about loving boldly, it means loving people or recognizing that the body of Christ includes people of all languages and cultures and nationalities and abilities. And ministries like the one Shadrach just reported to us on remind us that love isn't just a feeling, it's also a verb. We love in what we do. And I can't think of many better ways to love a community than by making the church accessible to them in a most powerful way. And it's so exciting to hear that that's something United Methodists are doing all around the world.
Okay, yeah. Thanks once again. And we have some additional questions for you from our viewers. So I think this one's up next. How can people of all ages embrace living out the vision from kids to older adults?
That's a good question.
I really like this question. And I really like that that the vision, the words, none of the words in the vision are complicated, right? They're all very, very simple. And I think it's pretty easy to understand and it's very active. Again, another thing I appreciate about this vision is that it's active, that we're reminded that we are empowered by the Holy Spirit to love and to serve and to lead. And it seems like children of all ages are able to understand how they can do that, whether it's, you know, with their friends on the playground or on their sports team. There are ways that we can do those things every day.
So good to know once again.
Definitely.
All right, thank you, Joe. But now I believe you have a story for us.
I do. I was really pleased to learn about a ministry out of Waterville United Methodist Church in Waterville, New York. It's called the Pass It On Baby Store. And one of the things that's really unique about this ministry is that this is a small congregation that is making a big impact in their community and finding joy and meaning along the way.
She calls me Grandma Diapers. It's funny because I had a little girl come in and with her family, and her family said, now don't forget, just one toy. And she came over to me, I was working over behind the counter, and she said to me, she had two horses. And she said, I know it's only one toy, but look at these horses. I really think they belong together. So I said, yeah, I think they do. So she took them. And she came in at Christmas time and she had made me a Christmas present, a thank you. It actually started back in COVID. We wanted to do something to give back to the community. So we ended up adopting 5 families and we would get them diapers once a month with wipes. And of course the word got out and more families said, well, how do we get in on this? The families were so appreciative that they said, we have clothes we'd like to give you that we can't use anymore. And that's how we ended up with the clothes. And we rented a store. We got a grant. Somebody was willing to pay our rent and our utilities for a year. So we rented a store. And that's how we got started with the Pass It On clothing and stuff. So it just all snowballed. We always get, well, how much is the clothing? And we say, no, it's, and we explain the whole concept of Pass It On. And they go, really? Really? You know, and we do have a small participating congregation, I guess I would call them. If we get 30 on Sundays, that's, you know, we're happy. It can be a struggle, but you know what? God provides. He does. You never know where your help's going to come from. To me, it's a joy to meet all the families, you know, especially within the last year or so. It seems like it's gotten much harder, but they are so grateful when they come in. Scripture tells us we need to help the poor, help the needy. And I think we're certainly doing that there in many ways, not just the giving, but a lot of times just talking to some of these young moms.
Sweet story. That was a really sweet story, Joe. That was awesome. It's incredible that just a handful of volunteers were able to just serve so many families, Joe. How can you, United Methodist, put the vision into action just like that congregation did?
Yeah, I think it's important to remember that this is a smaller congregation because sometimes we assume only big churches have the resources to make a difference in their communities. We've even heard churches say, if only we were bigger or we had more money or whatever resources we need. But really, churches can start ministry by paying attention to the needs around them. In this case, it started as a handful of families who needed diapers, and then it was more families that heard about this, and then there was clothing and a store, and what a beautiful example this became of how to serve joyfully in your local community. And the vision really invites every congregation to do just that, to look around to see where God is already at work and to join in God's work in your neighborhood. And to find more inspirational stories from churches who are living out the vision, you can find them at umc.org/vision, where we're collecting stories of churches doing similar ministries.
It's just so exciting to hear you just talk about it, Joe.
Yeah, it really is. Okay, we've still got another question for you, Joe. So what resources are available to support local churches as they incorporate the vision into their missions and ministries, and where can they find them?
Yeah, one of the ways that United Methodist Communications is supporting churches is by sharing resources that help congregations reflect on the vision and think about how it fits into their own ministries. Those are available at resourceumc.org/vision. And they're designed to help churches start conversations about how the Holy Spirit is inspiring them to love boldly, serve joyfully, and lead courageously in their communities. And also remember, your story can be an inspiration to someone else. So when you share about your stories on social media, be sure to use the hashtag LoveServeLeadUMC. And then others can be inspired when they find your story. And who knows, someone might start a ministry based on something you've done.
I love that. So pass it on, yes. Well, you've given us a lot of great information, Joe. Thank you very much. But now we're going to see how United Methodists in the Philippines are living out the vision as they love, serve, and lead.
In order to better understand the context of ministries in the Philippines, the delegates of the Connectional Table meeting had an exposure on different mission areas of the Kapatiran Kaunlaran Foundation Incorporated, Mary Johnston Hospital, and School of Mission for Young People.
Ever since I was growing up here, I could see poor people, poverty still around, and that just means that the ministry of the church needs to continue. And as somebody who was born in this hospital and is continuing to serve the United Methodist Church, I feel that I have that responsibility to continue doing the mission of the church.
They felt that as part of the connection, the burden to create an impact and continuously tell the stories of the communities to the world intensified with hope to what the future brings when ministries are strengthened.
It is so good to be back here at the Mary Johnston Hospital. The last time I was here 2 years ago was with a delegation from the Council of Bishops, and we planted some trees. This is the very tree that I planted. It's so good to see it and its progress, as well as to see the progress of this hospital. We've been in partnership with them for many, many years. And so to hear the progress and to see the progress that has been made, it is wonderful and gratifying to know that as the United Methodist Connection, we are making a difference in this community.
That was an incredible look at the transformational difference we can make as a worldwide connection. Well, we hope you have been inspired by the stories and information that's been shared today during our live celebration of the United Methodist Vision. We want to hear your stories. Share them on social media by using the hashtag LoveServeLeadUMC. We want one of your stories to be featured in a future episode of The Recap.
And now it's time for your chance to claim your free Vision t-shirt. Complete the survey linked in the comments or at the URL you see on your screen. The first 25 people to respond will receive one of these awesome shirts.
And before we sign off today, we want to take an opportunity to thank the many crew members that work behind the scenes to bring you The Recap each month.
Yay! Crew! Awesome!
I love that.
Yeah.
All right, so watch past episodes of The Recap and catch a new episode every month at umc.org/The Recap.
All right, and thanks for joining us as we celebrate the bright future of mission and ministry that lies ahead for the United Methodist Church.
So, Joe's getting all the confetti.
Yeah.
Confetti. All right. What a great time. Thanks for being with us today live, and we will see you next time.